Thoughtless Casual Gaming with Brett and Jace. We are a Geelong-based gaming podcast where we put on bad painting events and then talk badly about said painting events. Episode 2.
The baddening. Can it get badlier from here? I don't know.
Paint harder.
Yeah. Every single time you do that intro and you're like, hi, you're listening to Thought. I'm like, no, we're not. Firstly, no, we're not, and neither is anybody else.
All right, well, maybe I'll come up with a new intro for the next episode then. Yo, Thoughtless Casual Gaming.
Sup, we here, you're not, regards.
Oh dear, this could go badly. More badly. All right, anyway. We are back. Last episode we talked about a good 11 people's entries into the painting event that we put on, which, just to rehash, was finish a thing. Anything. Something you started. Finish it. Done. Profit.
See, how hard was that?
I know.
Right? I mean, let's be honest. Is the short answer, apparently.
We're not talking about my entry here. But yes, we still have another 6 people to go through. And then I suppose we should announce winners.
I suppose we could do that. Well, yeah. Hot dog. All right.
So let's get straight back into it, shall we? So next up off the ranks is Chad. Now, Chad has painted up his special secret weapon goblins for Blood Bowl.
Yeah, so that team has been partially done for a little bit. He's finally decided to knock those on the head and get all of the things he was never going to play in sevens.
Exactly right. We got the bomber. We got the fanatic. There's the dive bomber as well. What's that last one? Is that the chainsaw?
I was going to ask exactly that same piece. I don't know if it's the chainsaw or the loony.
Equivalent.
I think it's like a megaphone deal. He's heckling.
Yeah. So these are standard goblin skin color, but a bright blue and a white uniform.
It's a really, I don't know that I have seen that as a goblin team color. Not that I've looked, let's be honest. I haven't gone hunting for goblin team colors. But I really dig it as to something completely different.
It is. It really catches the eye, those bright blue, not only the bright blue, but the bright colours standing out from what you typically see on a sort of goblin team, which is your darker and your greens and browns and all that sort of stuff.
Or it's red and yellow, which is, yeah, you know, by extension, the orcs kind of deal. So it's that kind of, you know, bad moon yellow kind of deal, or the you know, red because it goes faster. And this is just a different little take on the whole thing. Goblins wearing white, like, I'm not sure. Is that appropriate? Not for their wedding day.
It's not going to be white for long with goblins, is it?
It's stained with all kinds of things.
Mostly goblin blood. But, yeah, look, these just look incredible. I love the face on the bomb as well.
Oh, contrary to the little happy missile, this is the saddest little bomb. He's like, no, I don't want to explode. I want to live.
Don't throw me over there. Don't light me on fire.
It's probably a very terrible bomb, which is appropriate given a goblin's trying to throw it.
Like, it's probably not going to explode anyway.
It's not going to land where it's supposed to. Thing. Yeah, it's gonna cause mayhem to someone, but he is not happy. He's got little cross eyes. He's got his little sad face. I also really dig the Fanatic Ball, which he's kept with the blue, but there's just so much in the way of like little nicks and scratches, and like it's been swung at some stuff.
Yes, and it is absolutely.
It is, you know, wearing the scars of that proudly.
And it's got the white as well. It's got the white for the teeth, the little face that they've put into this. These are the Forge World goblins from at least two of them, and definitely are. But yeah, that ball and chain, I love it with the, you know, sort of orc grill face and teeth and just holes in the ball for eyes.
It does upset me when Forge World models are this far fun.
Yeah, look, I might have a China Forge copy or two of some of these, but they are beautiful models, just beautiful. They are models. Gorgeous. And it's sad to say, but in the hands of someone like Chad, they turn out even more beautiful.
I know. He's done such, and again, it's that piece with Chad where it's the little details that I would often ignore. Like there's a like little. The bases. I mean, we'll come back to bases in this one. But I was looking at, there's a little pimple on the Bomb Goblin's nose that is like, there's highlights, there's shades, it's yellow, it's red, it's sore, it's pus filled, it's all of those things. And it is he spent infinitely more time on that than I possibly ever would have. You know, there's just all of the little detail in some of these models where you can kind of go, oh, if I just ignored that was there, no one is ever going to know. He doesn't do that. He actually goes, no, there's detail there, so I'm going to paint that.
And it's accentuated.
It makes me feel bad about myself.
It adds a lot to the model, having those sort of details there. And sure enough, yeah, you, me, anyone can paint over them and still create a half decent looking thing. But then there's Chad. And Chad does what Chad does.
Yeah, this is one of those don't do what Donnie don't does moments. It does. Every time I see him do stuff like this, it's like, oh, I should have taken that extra 5 minutes. I should have just, you know, done those extra little bits, because it does make so much of a difference. Just the little inside bits that are hard to get to and you don't really want to, but then you pull it together like this, and it is just the little bits that your eyes get drawn to that I really dig in all of these.
And just, yeah, these goblins all pop. They all just stand out. And I mean, if you had a full team looking like this, and let's face it, it's most likely going to be an 11s team. So you're going to have, you know, 10, 11, 12, 13 of these guys. That's going to be an impressive goblin team on the pitch.
It's going to be very. He's done the bloody rivets on the white shoulder pads. Like, he's painted them a different color.
Stop making us look bad.
I know, right? I also really dig, and it's common, but it just makes such a difference, is that he's done, like, the tips of the ears and the tips of the nose, this really funky kind of pink color. So you go from this green skin to these little kind of pinky noses and ears and stuff, and I love it. It's the coolest. Like little bits, it just gives it a little bit more character. Yeah. And the eyes, they're all angry and yellow too. It's very nice. He's painted the fingernails. I mean, they're goblin fingernails on the bomber, but they're long. They ain't have a manicure, but he's done the fingernails.
I love the sort of leather look on the dive bomber as well, with the handmade glider thing that he's wearing on his back, and his little aviatic goggles, and
that is really ineffective engineering, but it looks very pretty.
He's really, really eager to be thrown at somebody and then fail miserably and land headfirst in the ground.
He is really just exuding an utter misplaced confidence. He's like, no, I got this, mate. Throw me. Watch this. Watch his mummy. Watch his mum. Mum. Oh, gosh.
Look at me. Look at me. No, these are awesome. And, yeah, there's a nice, very simple base design done as well. So
it is real. It is classic. It looks very Blood Bowl pitchy.
Mm-hmm.
It feels like it's
that landscapers have forgotten.
I mean, they're goblin landscapers. It's probably a weed. It's probably very hard to get rid of. I will say I reckon his grass flock, whatever, is probably from about 2003. He's still working through that same tub that he got with the original Citadel paint set. It's got that kind of vibe to it.
Yeah, I think they're very simple, very easy to do, but very effective bases.
It's amazing how well that tuft, like just the little bigger tufts that go through. Again, mm-hmm. varying your base textures and finishes, it does so much. And this is an example of just how doing that, even really, really subtly, really simply, just being like there's one or two bigger tufts on a flocked kind of base, it now actually starts to look like something that resembles a backyard that I have supposed to have mowed.
I mean, legitimately, the only thing that could really improve these bases is goblin green on the rim instead of black.
You're going the right way for a muting.
Damn it, I forgot you've got power.
But it does all the right things. It looks like a Blood Bowl field. It looks like a pitch. It gives it that real, like, it's classic. Like, it actually kind of gives me the nostalgias, which I really dig, without being overly tacky. Hashtag Goblin Green. It's just, it is classic stuff modernized. Like, it is just, you know, it's brought into the kind of, you know, the modern era with just a little bit more class. And I never thought I would say that about Chad. But he's just got a little bit more class.
No, he didn't have much to start off with, so a little bit is a step in the right direction. All right, moving on. Next up, we have James. Now, James has done a Nurgle Lord of Plagues, but he has linked it to, he's tried to paint it as his favorite boss from World of Warcraft, who is known as Patchwork. I'm just having a quick look at Patchwork here. Patchwork reminds me of, and I've totally forgotten the name, but the Malifaux guy. What is his name?
Killjoy?
Yes. King? That's the one. Very, very similar sort of design there. But looking at James's work. So this is the typical Warhammer Fantasy Nurgle Lord.
I really love that model. He's such a cool model.
It is so good. And I think, you know, a lot of people, even if they don't play Nurgle, have this model in their collections.
It's such a fun, it's just such a cool model. And look, this was probably the first one, tangent here, but that Games Workshop came out with, and they kind of, this was kind of the first of their redone Nurgle look mm-hmm. for fantasy, because from here they did the Blight Lords and they did, like, it all suddenly started kind of snowballing and they had this kind of look. But I feel like this, when this model dropped, it was a mind blown moment. They just went, no, we can do some cool stuff with this.
Yeah.
And so many people have painted it. And here is another one that is just glorious. I'm really glad he gave us the comparison.
Absolutely.
Because I would not have got that reference and I would not have done any homework to find out who that is. So the fact he's just handed that to us in a plate, I feel like there's extra points in that alone. Mm-hmm.
Look, I love the colors of this Patchwork guy. Just work with this model. So the model has it's a grey skin rather than your typical sort of either green or, you know, typical pink skin that you could see quite often on Nurgle models. That grey sort of, you know, just what's the word I'm looking for here? Just
it's not alive. Like it's not healthy.
Yeah, it's
it's like pallid. It's a little bit, you know,
necrotic, I think.
Yeah.
That's what I'm looking for. Yeah, like it's almost dead skin, really. But you've got holes throughout the skin because he's a Nurgle Lord. You've got holes where the pustules and the intestines and everything sort of show through. And contrasting that gray is this awesome purple. I mean, I love purple, and he's done this incredibly well. There's the highlights on there. There's a really light purple towards the surface of all these things, and going back to a darker purple as it gets further and further into the skin. It just, the two colors work really well together.
And not ones, like not colors I would have thought of until, again, you throw me the reference pick and you're like, oh, I get it now. But even without that, even just taking the model on its own, it's this piece of like, where did you come up with that? This is glorious. Mm-hmm. Like this idea of the all the insidey bits that are poking through, right? Everyone almost to like universally goes, oh, well, that's like intestines and stuff. I guess I have to paint it like pinky fleshy type colors or cover it in blood, mm-hmm. and yellow. And this is just such a diversion. Like it's such a move away from that kind of what everybody does. And mm-hmm. I really dig that concept of regardless of where you get your inspiration from, this piece of around, it's just something that is completely different to what I've seen everyone else do.
It's definitely, I've painted up a number of models like this. And yeah, I've lost count of the amount of times that I've gone for that pinky intestine yeah. type thing with a bit of, you know, blood for the blood god. Yeah. And then
where is my blood for the blood
Nurgle's,
god?
Yeah, there's Nurgle's rot that I usually add in there as well. This is just, it's simple, it's clean. And it's the two colors with a bit of pink hanging out as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it just works.
It's so much. And the other one I really like is, again, Nurgle. A lot of people tend to go super heavy on the rust and the sort of anything metal. We just go browns and oranges and all kinds of stuff. Valid approach. Sign me up. I'm a big fan of it. This is all silver. And it's not clean polished silver by any stretch of the imagination. It's got this really kind of funky, dirty kind of wash over it that pulls it back and really makes it look like it's not new, like it's got some like it almost looks oily. And I kind of like this idea that you touch it and it'd be gross, like yep. you could see the fingerprints in it if you kind of ran your finger along it. But the silver and this kind of dirty funky silver with this really kind of funky gray pallid unclean skin, they're really similar, but it gives this model this really coherent kind of blue-gray flavor of this, the silver, the gray skin, the purple of the insidey bits and everything. And it just really holds him together. And even things like the brown of the axe handle, it's brown, but it's not like bright wood. It's not fresh. It's not clean. It's kind of muted. It's kind of grotty. It's kind of, again, it just, everything suits. And I think some people go into a habit of painting Nurgle and going, again, completely validly, super bright. And this feels grimy. And I kind of dig it.
This guy's definitely gotten up in the morning and gone to his wardrobe and handpicked what he's going to wear that day.
He washes himself with a rag on a stick too.
He does. He does indeed. I love how, like, James has just highlighted all of these bits as well, the little markings on the wood, you know, the highlights on the purple bits showing through, and the highlights on the skin as well, gone that extra level of detail, which just makes the whole thing stand out. Give it a sort of clear, even the highlights on the skull hanging from his waist.
Is that just hanging from?
Yes, I'm going to say waist.
Okay, sure.
There's a little bit more in the center, and then we could possibly talk. But yeah, look, it's just that extra level of, you know, just adding a little bit more to the model. And this is the sort of thing, like, you could, this is what I try to achieve, this sort of highlighting is what I try to achieve with, you know, contrast paints and speed paints and stuff like that, and then layering up afterwards. And it just gives that model a real 3D lifelike look.
Yeah, it really, I'm not sure what he's used as the kind of, I don't know if it's a wash. I don't know if he's a recess wash. I don't know if it's just the base coat or anything. And he's just built up from there. But it's got this like blacky, grayy kind of browny kind of thing over it that gives you the definition between the folds on the skin. It gives you the little kind of, you know, texture in the skin, the you know, indents and little holes and stuff in that. And it just, with the model in very monochromatic kind of colors, it creates this great level of separation. So it's really, really clear what is what. Because I think that's the danger sometimes if you paint things in very similar colors and you're looking for that kind of, you know, monochromatic kind of approach, stuff can blend. But he's managed to pull that out just by using this kind of, and again, it's not, it doesn't look black. It looks dirtier than black. It looks like my children after they come home from daycare. There's not enough sand in the shoe. That's the only difference here. It's grotty. But it creates this definition between everything that makes him so easy to look at and read what is what, which is super cool.
Absolutely. And I just want to add, before we move on from James's, this base that he's done, it's simple in, you know, the colors and the design, but it really has an impact with the model itself. It's, you know, that bright green on the base and that rock with, I mean, what are those?
Is it pink? Is it purple? Is it something?
Like an orange.
Yeah, it feels organic, whatever the hell it is. Like it's alive. But I kind of feel like, and I really dig it, that he's kind of used purple as the base coat for it, and this is complete guess, and then he's gone the green, slimy, funky ground cover over the top of the purple, and then whatever this orangey pinky color is for the rock, again, over the top. And it feels like you've got this universal shadow color, which is this purple, which he's also done for the rim of the base. But again, it ties into the kind of purpley insidey bits that you've got on the guy. So even though he's standing on this bright green and pinky orange base, it doesn't
really
look out of place.
The rim together.
Yeah.
No, look, this is an awesome piece, James, and you know, I think what you've done here is you've done this, your favorite World of Warcraft boss, justice, and put him
really,
into Nurgle form.
Yeah, but I really feel like it goes to show when you are super inspired by something, what you can pull out. When you're super excited to paint something, you know, you can do some pretty wonderful things. So find stuff that you're excited to paint, I think, is the moral of the story here.
Absolutely. All right, moving on from James, we go to the OG, Mr. Clinton himself, jumping on board late in the event, but deciding to paint something that no one in their right mind does.
Fuck diamonds.
Harlequins.
Why? Why would you do that to yourself?
I mean, they look incredible. The models, I've always had this really soft spot for Harlequins and, you know, their lore and how they look, and they're insanely cool. But I am not able to paint that shit. But Clinton is.
Yeah, he is silly enough to go there. So what, is it the Death Jester that we've got? It's the Shadow Seer.
Yeah.
I always get those backwards. In the first instance. And then later on, has he come on and done some of the jet bikes?
Yes. So, I mean, looking at the Shadow Seer, you've got the diamonds. He's got pink. I mean, yeah. Points for pink, of course. Pink diamonds, purple diamonds. Again, love pink and purple. He's got blue and white candy stripes on the staff,
which are super dig as an effect.
Yeah, like he looks very tasty. This guy,
he is the Willy Wonka of the Elder World, right?
He is right.
He is.
Just looking at some of this detail, the gems on the chest and the codpiece or belt. Whichever way you want to say it.
Yeah, it's a codpiece. They're not human. Their anatomy is slightly different. there's some really clever stuff too. Like just, he says, zooming into picture like a billionfold. Just in the way that he's like highlighted. Mm-hmm. Every one of those. So he's done, it looks like, I'm guessing, he's done the pink kind of hood as a starting point. Mm-hmm. And then he's gone ahead like some kind of maniac who hates himself and done a whole bunch of purple diamonds on the pink hood. Mm-hmm. And then he's gone, no, that's not enough. I need to highlight every single one of those diamonds bloody separately. And he's gone through and highlighted all of those diamonds. And then he's gone, wait, I can't highlight the purple diamonds if I haven't highlighted the pink diamonds. And he's gone back and again, he's highlighted the pink diamonds. And this is covering, like, I don't think it can be said enough that painting diamonds on something flat, great. This guy's head ain't flat. Like, it's round. It's got things. His hood, it's got little ridges and folds and stuff. That's not easy. And then the same on his little leggings, which are not pants, let's be clear. His leg is bent. He's, you know, got a calf. He's got, and there's diamonds all over this bloody thing. He's a maniac.
If I could ever choose someone, and I wouldn't really wish this on anybody in the world, but if I could choose somebody that I wanted to paint Harlequins, it would be Clinton. Yeah. Because he's just done an incredible job here. This looks insane. And, you know, the colors all work, the pink and the purple, and then you've got the gold on the arm, the bright blue on the gun. It's very vivid. It's very in your face, which is what Harlequins should be. But it's done so bloody well.
I will also say there's a really clever, I only just noticed this, on the little candy stripe staff mm-hmm. thing that he's carrying, he's actually done, like he's painted the whole bloody thing, and I reckon he's like wet blended or something, those candy stripes, because there is, it sort of goes from a brighter, more intense blue to a pale blue back to that kind of brighter one at the bottom. But there's actually a highlight that runs the full length of the...
Yep.
The shaft. And, like, that is
on He's painted point. A straight line down this. Yeah, it's a shaft. Let's not call it anything else.
No, no, that's what it is.
Who does that?
No, but it is so accurate. It is so on point. That is glorious. And then if we skip down really quickly to his Star Weaver, the little... Which I reckon are dark elf jet bikes that they commandeered for the Harlequin Codex.
Mm-hmm.
Cheeky Buggers got clever with the airbrush because it goes pink through to purple through to like a dark funky purple situation at the back as a fade. So you've got this glorious fade. That would be enough for most people. But no, he's then gone back and done the checks over the top of that. So he's got like the black checks and then like a maniac has gone through and highlighted stuff as well on top of that. And I've seen this army on the table. It looks fucking incredible.
And he's like got
there's four of them sitting here.
Yeah, there's four of them. It's just, yeah, look, that is the thing with Warhammer, isn't it? You have to do a lot for an army. Most of it's going to get shot off the table in the first round. But,
oh, that's funny because it's true.
Yeah,
and it's like, pretty.
Even when it gets to the back of that ship, like, it's almost as if, you know, he's done the whole sort of nebula sky type thing. It gives the from the pink to the purple to the dark, it gives this real impression of movement to me.
It's such a clever scheme.
Yeah.
And like, I feel like I have had this moment where you see the Elder vehicles and you're like, yeah, you've got to do something special with them, but there's doing something special. And then there's this bullshit.
This is a lot of flat areas. A lot of
they're mildly terrifying.
Yeah.
But I will say that is the thing. I bought an airbrush and then went, I need to buy something to paint with an airbrush, and Eldar tanks were the thing that you go, yes. Yeah, this is the thing I want to paint with an airbrush. And it's satisfying to no end. But this is to then go back and do all of the detail that he's done on it is next level.
This is just reminding me that I need to come over and play with your airbrush a bit more, because I am not good. I don't own an airbrush. I'm not very good at it. I need to practice more.
This is a euphemism I'm on board with.
Book me in. But yeah, no, this is everything that we expect from Clinton and more.
No. Incorrect. Where are the LEDs?
Well, that's true.
Nothing is lit up. No marks for him. In fact, we should disqualify him. Yeah, disqualified due to lack of LEDs.
Yes. You must have LEDs in everything that you do from now on, Clinton.
And he does have
three riders on this.
Yeah.
You've got two guys hanging off the back, one guy piloting the thing. And again, that bright gold gun tying it in with the previous model.
Yeah.
And I love the bases, how simple the bases are. So you've got that cracked earth, a little bit of grass tufts.
I mean, he couldn't do too much. You don't want to distract from the stupidity of this diamondy goodness.
Stupidity. That's what we're used to from Clinton. That's what we know and love.
Overachieving. I can't stand it. Let's move on.
Next up, we have Josh. Now, Josh, in our last painting event, painted up some terrain and he painted up a skeleton. So what has he done for this one?
A shit ton more skeletons.
There's more of them. They've multiplied. They're breeding like rabbits.
How does that even work? I mean,
it just works. Trust me.
They definitely do have boners.
All right. So we've got pretty much a wide selection. You've got archers. You've got swordsmen. You've got shieldsmen. You've got guy with an axe on the end. These skeletons are in, you know, various states of undress and almost various states of skeletonism.
I was about to say there is some that look like they've been around for a little bit longer than others.
This guy's got a beard on the end.
I really dig the one that's just like a complete skeleton but has boots. That's fun. Some have still got their little Viking helmets, which is a bit cool. I said the one guy basically looks alive, like he's fresh, he's chewy,
and then it's, you know, with skeletons, there's not too much you want to do with skeletons. You've got that bone color, but he's got the dark areas, the recessed areas done. You know, there's probably a wash or something through those, I'd say. But the bones look highlighted. They stand out. The eyes are all this bright, bright blue. For everyone, I'm just clicking through. Which is tying them all together. Yep.
And look, the other thing I really dig with that choice of the blue is, you know, there's the skeletons. There ain't a huge amount of color. He's found opportunity where he can between leather and steel. And the ones that have bows, they got their little arrows and stuff mm-hmm. that have got color and stuff on them. But they're all on that kind of frozen tundra style base. It's rocks, it's white, it's snowy, it's not a pleasant place to be barefoot, especially for that one that doesn't have boots. Even though he's a skeleton, I'm assuming his toesies are still cold. Maybe that's how he ended up here. But I was
about to say, maybe that's why some of them are skeletons in the first place.
All right, just a little bit chilly. But this whole idea of these kind of white grey base and this kind of super bright pastely kind of blue that he's done, it really ties into that frozen dynamic, right? Mm-hmm. It's that whole concept of if you're going to paint ice and stuff, what color are you going to add in to your white? Probably a blue, right? That's the other cold color that we're going to add to everything frozen. So I think it's just a clever way to add this pop of color, this kind of, you know, feature color that you've sprinkled throughout that creates a little bit of, you know, interest and a little bit of uniformity between them, but still links to the atmosphere, and it kind of, you know, it lends itself to selling where they are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, it's simple colors, but very, very effective.
I can't imagine how satisfying these dudes would have been just to be like, knock off.
Yeah.
Because, again, he did like one or two as a test screen last time, and he was just like, no, I can do this. And, you know, he's just banged out 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14 or so in one pick there. You know, all different loadouts, all different kit, all different stuff, but same core elements of bone, some less bony bits, maybe some leather and some metal. Off you go, son.
Yeah, no, these are really, really nice. But we're going to let them go because they want to build a snowman. And he's got some Roger Rogers, some battle droids from Star Wars. And this is, from the looks of Star Wars Legion, I would say.
They've got those funky shaped base things with the little inserty bits.
Inserty bits. The spaces where you stick things in. But these are two battle droids on the sort of skimmers that they ride in. You know, one of them's waving a hand furiously at, you know, some gun.
He's waving at a cloud. He's literally an old man waving in a cloud. That's what's going on here. It's glorious.
But these are absolutely painted the way they should be painted. All the colors are exactly what you would expect to see on the screen. There's, you know, is this a wash that he's put through it? Because
I wouldn't be surprised if there's been some contrast fun with that as well. Mm-hmm. But it is that piece of also thinking, if we're talking Legion, like, you're not painting one of these or two of these, you're painting an army worth of these little bastards. So the idea that you could do this and get a few of these done, and then the impact that they have on the table sort of en masse when you get mm-hmm. units of dudes rocking around, super cool. And I think, you know, that is sometimes the attraction to the little battle droids, because they lend themselves, I think, to, you know, bashing out a bunch of them, because the color scheme by default is this kind of uniform piece. But he's just, it's all the little bits. I think, you know, again, it's the little headlighty glow that he's got on the skimmers. It's the fact that he's done the bases in that kind of ready Martian earth. Simple enough, right? But it just goes a little bit up the transparent sticky bit that holds the dude on. I'm using really technical terms here. The flat stand, that's the thing I'm looking at.
Sticky bit. That reminds me of something else. Sticky bit.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's all a bit of sand in the wet patch. We've all been there. But he's actually
simple. They're really well done, and they look exactly the way they should.
It is, and he's yelling at a cloud.
And he's yelling at a cloud. Why you shake harder, boy? Nah, these are awesome, and yeah, I'd love to see, because you get, yeah, that's right, you get a whole heap of these on the field, and then you put the time and effort into your characters or your, you know, whoever's leading them, whether it be Grievous or, you know, Dooku or even Vader or someone, you know, how that effort in and that extra bit of attention on the leader, making them stand out as well, just gives a nice, nice looking army.
Yeah, but it is that piece around you're looking for the impact of the whole army. Like, again, it's like that, you know, Warhammer piece. It's like you've got to paint so much shit, right? You've got to work out where to really stretch yourself and where to look for impact. And I think this hits that nice balance of they're painted really, really well, but actually when you get a bunch of these dudes on the table, it's going to look really impressive.
Yep. For sure. Well done, Josh. All right, moving on. Next up, we have Lee. Now, Lee has come out of nowhere right at the end. In fact, was this the last day? It was on the last day of the event.
At let's just not just say the last day of the event, at 11:20 p.m. on the last day of the event. Haven't heard from him before. Could not have been in existence before then. And all of a sudden.
And knowingly, he's probably whacked this up in 20 minutes.
Well, I think what's happened here is Alice has done a wonderful friendly reminder to go, oh, share any entries and stuff at like 10:30. And at 11:30, Lee's posted something. So I assume he saw that at 10:30, went, oh, shit, I better do something. Spent an hour and come up with this.
Fuck Lee. This is, I don't know what this is, but it's incredible. Like, this is sort of, it's like a diorama, really, more than anything else. It's not really a piece you'd put anywhere, apart from on the shelf.
I don't know what it's for. I don't know if it's a little objective. I don't know if it's just a random thing for a base. It is cool as fuck is what it is.
Yeah. And what it is a Nurgling.
That's it.
God, we love Nurgle.
That's one little, and it's the sassiest little dude. He's got his little hands on his hips. He's got his helmet on, and he's just looking.
One foot in front of the other.
He wants to speak to your manager.
He's the Karen of Nurglings.
He is. He can hear the demands. Oh.
In probably a very high-pitched voice.
Swear to God, if I find one pickle.
I demand to speak to your manager. This Nurgling is standing above, I don't know, is that toxic waste or is it like mud? Or he's standing on a little platformy area.
And he's got like it's the best. So he's got this kind of little metal like landing pad thing that had been spray painted at some stage, but it's this rusty ass piece of metal over some toxic swampy thing. It's not pretty. It's not pleasant. I wouldn't want to stand in it. There's a little skull in there. There's all kinds of little detail that he's managed to hide in there. But you've got Sassy Karen Nurgling, right, just standing on this thing. But he's painted the full backdrop And what it has is only what I can imagine is the self-projection of the Karen Nergling's personality. Like, this is what Karen Nergling is seeing, because it's this giant shadow of this raging Nurgle monster, and then it just tapers down into this itty bitty little tiny Nergling.
It's friend. The great unclean one hidden inside every Nergling. He's got the big horns. He's got his arms up in the air. He's not waving at clouds. He's demanding to see their manager.
Yeah. Yeah. Captain Planet told him that the power was his, and he believed it.
But it's so this is contrary to sort of James's one. This is more what you kind of expect from a Nurgle piece. There are lots of browns, there are lots of greens. The Nurgling himself has a gorgeous green helmet on, you know, highlighted in all the right places, and his little pink body with his little intestines hanging out and all that sort of stuff. Like, the colors are what you expect, but they're done so well because that pink and contrasts.
Yeah, he stands out. The thing that absolutely blows my mind here is I am 99.9% sure that the backdrop on this model is 100% flat,
mm-hmm.
but he has painted it as if it is not. So it's got this really defined kind of highlight around it to make it look like it's a door frame, or it's got a recessed center or anything like that. There's all these little bright green, like pock mark deals in it with, you know, rust and corrosion stuff dripping from them. But again, they're flat. Like that ain't detail that's sculpted in there. So just the way that shadow is done, the excessive abuse of what I can only assume is streaking grime, it's very clever. And even the fact that the shadow's pose and the Nurgling's pose do not match. And yes. I would not have thought of doing that. Like, I would have been somehow trying to, and I have done this before, where you try to match the model's pose in shadow, just fucking ignoring that and going, no, this is what the Nurgling thinks. It's so good.
I love how the shadow. Yeah, it goes all the way up this door. It's a huge ass shadow. And then you get to the ground where the Nurgling is, and that shadow just comes in and just attaches itself to its feet. Yeah.
This is such a fast shaper.
It is. The Nurgling is casting the shadow in every way, shape, and form. It's just not his shadow.
I'm like, my only question for this was, how much was unfinished beforehand? I want to know how much you did in that hour. Was it the whole bloody thing? Because I think this is the first post that we saw.
It was. So we didn't see any post but from him before this. It was just all of a sudden, here it is.
I really wanted to see the before. Like, I would love to see so many before pics of this. Just the, like, I want to see the completely unpainted build pic of the, hey, this is what it looks like. This is all the different parts I use for different things. Like, I want to see all that stuff as well. I might have to annoy him for that anyway, because I'd be curious. But he's a fiend. There is every chance that he saw that post and with an hour to go went, no, I got this, and just pulled some shit out of his bits box and went, there you go. Because he's that kind of jerk.
He is. He is. And we love him for it. But my God, like, save some talent for the rest of us, please. Some of us are severely lacking. Awesome, awesome job, Lee. Awesome job. All right. Now, the last thing that we will talk about, the last pseudo entry, is Ant. And Ant has base coated some things.
Yeah, in easy mistake to make. And I think he's like, oh, I definitely overcommitted here, and then got distracted and procrastinated and all kinds of things, and then went, oh shit, I better get something done. And I totally feel that, right? I had so many things that I was going to finish for this. Like, I had a list of things. I did.
You had two drawers worth of stuff or something, didn't you?
Yeah, yeah. Like, and most of them, all of them, basically still in the drawer in exactly the same state. And I've instead, since the end of this, started other things. So I completely get where he's at. But this whole point of, shit, I better get some stuff done. And look, in his full defense, stuff was done. And any hobby is good hobby.
Absolutely. And this, you know, we say base colors, but, you know, it's really already shaping form of what this unit is. This is an Imperial Guard kill team, basically. But you can see
we're back to Krieg.
Yeah, you've got that one model which looks, I would almost, up in my eyes, it looks finished in the middle. And that's what the rest of them are going to look like. And they've got that blue armor, the, you know, the gray, the browns of the straps and the leather and stuff are there, the base coats for all the guns. And this is going to look incredible when it's done.
It's super cool. And you can see that process of painting where, you know, you've got all of the different base coats on, and then he's done that one where he's done the washes and the extra highlights and the stuff, and gone, right, this is what we're doing. And but you can almost see the process. It's kind of, you know, it's the seven steps, and you can see the seven steps in different models where it's like, mm-hmm. This one's just started, and this one's got this bit done, and this one's got a little bit more done, and then this is what they're all going to look like, and it's going to be awesome. But frankly, like, how much better is it rocking up to a game and having color, even if it's base coats on a model, just color on them when you're seeing it? So I think there's, sure, I was going to do some washes and some extra highlights and throw some stuff on the bases. Cool. But you show up for a game tomorrow with these models and nobody is upset about this. And nobody is playing against a just tired of gray. It's like, what the fuck is that? I can see which is the big plasma dude.
What is the GW rule? It's like three colors minimum to play in a tournament or something like that.
These are tournament ready.
Yeah. He's ready to go. Yep. They're looking great, and they will look even better once they're done. And they'll probably all kill the crap out of my guys.
I mean, it works out. You'd need to work out which one of your guys you can actually put on the table first. That's a whole other issue.
Just out of curiosity, is that his high elf team behind?
I think it is. He says, zooming back out. Yeah, it is.
The one I never got to play.
They're very pretty. Because he's done some more on those two since.
Oh, God. No. Awesome start. And let's post in the pic when you're done, because I'd love to see the final work on those.
Yeah, make it so.
All right, that is everyone. So first and foremost, we want to thank everyone who got involved. It's awesome to see all of your work. And, you know, whether you finished something or just got an extra couple of colors on something, any little bit is a win here. So we want to thank you all for jumping on board, giving it a go, posting your pictures, being part of this, and, you know, awesome. Like, I love these events because it really gets, especially the Discord, it really gets the talk going and conversations and, you know, people encouraging each other on. And it's just beautiful to see.
Yeah, it's so much fun. I love the fact it pushes me to do stuff. I like the fact that it gets some conversation happening. I love the fact, even for those people that aren't necessarily planning on entering or doing, like, I feel like being surrounded by people doing hobby, it kind of just gets everybody in the mood. So it kind of, you know, it is that Mexican wave of hobby where one person does it and it kind of picks up and it kind of just builds, and it's great because we start seeing more people painting stuff. We get, you know, a little bit more action, and just hearing the, I've been putting this off for however long, or I hadn't done this for however long and I did this, and people are really happy that they did a thing. And that is legitimately all this is about.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that encouragement and motivation. And, I mean, speaking of all of those things, we're probably a bit overdue for another hobby hangout.
We are. I've been lazy. I should fix that.
Yes.
We will do another one shortly.
All right. I have lots to do, so. Yes. Yes. I haven't put paint to brush for a little while now, so I'm overdue for that. Anyway, we really appreciate everybody getting involved, and as such, we have a couple of prizes to give away for the three people that really caught our eye for various different reasons. Do you remember who they were?
Yes.
Because we discussed this before we recorded the last episode. When you say yes,
I did not have sexual relations. I did not have sexual relations with that woman. Yes.
Or do you want me to just announce?
Yes. No. I at least remember two of the three, if not three of the three. Maybe at least two of the three.
All right. Well, who is one of the three that you remember?
That is a great question. Who is not one of the three that I remember is really the thing that we need to all ask ourselves.
Is it?
I mean, firstly, I'd like to point out that we're all winners here. And regardless who or may not have been a recipient of a prize.
Absolutely.
That prize is really universal. And
these prizes are just definitely, you know, not for the best paint job or whatever. It's just, you know, whatever tickled our pickle at the time. Whoever.
Yeah, I think that's the piece, right? But I think let's just double down on that fact that this is not a painting competition, and we are not judging it as such. This is legitimately a case of everybody painted some really awesome shit, and that's incredible. And you know, there was stuff that we were like, hey, that was cool. Let's give that person something. And if we could give literally everybody something, we probably wouldn't, because that's too much logistics and we won't want to deal with that, which is why we've limited it to just a few. So with that in mind, the first person that may or may not have been discussed earlier or may not have been something that we totally just made up on the spot under pressure. No, the first person we did want to give something to and just recognize was from last episode, and was, he says, waiting for the look of disbelief that I've got this wrong, but I haven't, is Kenny.
Kenny wasn't one of them.
All right, then let's skip that. You lose again, buddy. Bad luck. I think the thing that got me out of this one, and yeah, I know what I'm talking about. I just pretend like I'm an idiot. It was that, but there was a comment that he posted, and this is not saying that your comments get you prizes, but it's like, I didn't paint anything at all for the last 12 months. And since then, he's thrown in the stuff that he did for Finish a Thing. I know he's painted more stuff than them, but it was just that whole, here's a reason to do a thing, and that's, I'm on board. I needed this motivation. And I think it was just the piece where it was like, this is exactly why we run these events. So it's that. It is the fact that you went so hard. It's like, I finished a thing. I'm going to finish another fucking thing. That felt good. And then brought out more stuff, and then more stuff again out of that. So that was super cool. It was, you know, the fact that we'd seen hobby level up over the last however long. heaps in it, but I'm just really glad that somebody who had been such a bit of a hobby fiend, you know, a couple of years ago and has kind of fallen off the wagon has got right back on since then. And, you know, I like taking credit for things.
Absolutely. I mean, this is it. Kenny jumped on this thing in spades. And the only fault that I can find with Kenny is that he's not in the Discord, and he should be posting in the Discord as well.
But all of those things are true. I will also say it was nice to have some action on Facebook.
It was true, and, very much,
you know,
true.
To see some of that publishing, you know, that was appreciated as well, because I was a little bit neglectful of that. I meant to. It was a thought bubble that I had that I just never followed through with. There's a lot of those. So to have some people posting there, you know, on the Facebook event page as well, and keeping that thing alive was glorious.
Yeah, and a lot of that was due to Kenny, I think. You know, Kenny was the first person posting on Facebook, and you know, without his enthusiasm and motivation for others, you know, we might not have had any other posts apart from, you know, the summary of a couple of Discord posts. So
this is it.
No, it was good. Well deserved, Kenny.
Yeah, good to see you painting again, man.
Absolutely. All right, so let's give another prize. So this one I want to shout out, and this is from this episode, and it was really, for me, what did this was the motivation behind it and the sheer sticking to this is what I want to do, and I'm going to do it. And that's going to go to James. For his Nurgle Lord World of Warcraft patchwork guy, who not only was painted beautifully, and like every bit of this stands out for the right reasons, but having that connection to this, you know, character from something totally not related, and being able to recreate it in Warhammer form.
Yeah, I think there's a really fun bit there around crossing the IPPs. I will say, I don't know how many hours James spent on World of Warcraft, but he also has a World of Warcraft themed Amazon Blood Bowl team that he's been using the last season as well. So I feel like he has seen how deep the rabbit hole goes. But you know what? If it gives you joy, fucking do it.
Absolutely.
And to be able to go, here's something that I love doing, here's something that I really liked, and here's a way that I can kind of, as he said, he wants to, you know, something to honor those memories. You know, he's tried to do something to kind of, you know, pay homage to all those hours that he spent, you know, doing something that he enjoyed. And I think it's super cool. And if that's what gets your hobby juices flowing, then you pour your hobby juices all over a Nurgle Lord.
Absolutely. And this is a piece. I mean, James is, you know, ignoring the juices. James is, he's a Blood Bowl player. He's a 40K player. He's not a fantasy player from anything that I've seen. And this is, you know, this is a model painted because he wanted to paint it. It's not painted for any army. It's not painted for any game that he's playing. He wanted to paint this model in this way.
Yeah.
And he's done it. And he's done it extremely well.
Yeah. Yeah. Painting with zero obligation, I think, is a wonderful thing.
Yep.
It's not because I have this army or team or thing that I need to finish because I'm playing games with it and I just have to. But painting something because you want to paint the thing, it's the best.
Yeah, absolutely. So awesome work, James. Congratulations.
All of that is
third
true.
And final.
The last.
This is up to you.
Things shouldn't be left up to me. You know this.
Is this the one you forgot?
No, I wouldn't dream of scrolling desperately through Discord as we talk which explains the awkward pauses in my narrative.
So, third prize we're going to give to someone from the last episode as well.
I think I know it, but I'm not confident.
It's one confident. Of those crews that just looks impressive. And from the person that painted these things, like, we expect them to be painted well. But these guys come out in spades. They look insane. This is going to the AdMech kill team by Mom's
Spaghetti. I fucking knew it.
Never doubt yourself, Jason. Never doubt yourself.
No.
Lewis has painted these things up incredibly. And it was, you know, the detail and the basing and all the colors and everything that really made this one pop to us. Yeah, you know, we say
the other one
we
I say really it's not did.
A painting award, but you know, it was something about this just grabs us.
Yeah, and I think look, the other piece I really like is again people stretching themselves and trying stuff that they hadn't tried, and for him to go, look, yep. I found these pigments and it looked like a cool idea, and I really wanted to try it, and then to pull out something like this, and it does all of the right things. So I think this piece around. Not just finishing a thing, not just doing stuff. All of that deserves awards that we are not giving you. But this extra piece of, hey, I'm stretching. I'm trying something else new. I'm you know, pushing myself further. And I think that's the piece in all of the people we're giving away stuff to that push themselves that little bit further. I just really, really enjoy seeing it. Again, just circling back to last episode, that piece with the dust on the bottoms mm-hmm. of the cloaks, the fact that it takes over the little grass tufts. So I've got that red dustiness to them. The rocks and the other bits and shits on the base have all got that same, like, they are in a red dusty ass place and it looks so right for that. I dig it. And, you know, now he's got a new tool in the toolbox. It's glorious.
They're on Mars. But, yeah, absolutely, just trying something. And, again, that's, you know, we like to put these things on so that people get a bit more of a motivation. But we love to see people stretching themselves, trying something new, whether it works or not. These sort of events are the perfect opportunity you have to try those things and give it a go, be it on a piece that you will use in a game or something that you don't care about and might just sit on a shelf if it looks good at the end. Yeah. These guys
all of those incredible. Things are wins. Yeah.
Yes.
Glorious.
So congratulations, Kenny, James, and Lewis. Like awesome, awesome work, guys. But you know, extra thanks to everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
17 entries, 2 episodes. What's that? Yeah. We're creeping up to 3 hours talking about these bloody things.
Yeah, and they're still listening. Yeah, creeping up to 0 hours listening.
But that shows, you know, the amount of time that, you know, one or two people have stuck through this thing and listened to the whole thing and not just the end where we announce the winners is, you know, testament to the amount of work that you guys have done, you know. We never want to put on one of these things and half-ass the, oh, this such-and-such painted this, such-and-such painted this. That kind of looks cool. 4 out of 10.
We absolutely want to whole-ass that bit. We just want to half-ass our efforts.
Yes, exactly. So next episode, we go back to half-assing.
This is great because, you know, I'm not used to giving, like, my professional life, my personal life, when do you expect me to be whole-assing anything? Like, you're lucky to get half, one cheek at most.
Makes pegging a little bit hard, but anyway. Moving on, just a couple of quick announcements before we finish up. There are a couple of days left to enter our April giveaway. We are giving away the brand new Blood Bowl Gnome team.
Which are so much fun. I assembled them the other night. They're glorious. Get involved, people. Just do all the things that you need to do to get involved so you can get these friendly little friends on your hobby desk.
They are awesome looking models. I picked them up the other night. I would say I have them in my hand, but they're the other side of the desk and I can't reach that far. But just staring at the box for a little bit, I'm like, oh, maybe I need to get them. I'm kind of hanging out.
There's an itty bitty little like baby goose. That's just like base detail that you can give to.
Hold on. I'm going.
Yeah, go and look. It's like, because there's the Beastmaster goose guy, and then there's just a little baby one just kicking around.
Oh my god, there's who is. It's fucking so cute. Adorable.
I didn't see that until I picked up the box, and I'm like, and there's two of them in there.
Oh, all right, screw you guys. I'm keeping this, and whoever wins the giveaway can, I don't know.
You can send them the box.
Send them the box. Yeah. Anyway, like and tag yourself, tag somebody, but like the post on Facebook. I will be drawing that live on Twitch very early on next month. But, you know, easiest way in the world, get your hands on a free Blood Bowl team and the newest Blood Bowl team.
And yeah.
By God, it's good to see some new Blood Bowl.
Completely unexpected, but I was loving it. I'm so excited. They're hitting the table as soon as I possibly can. Other things that you should totally do after you have done the liking and tagging and things and entered that for your gnome team is then assemble them and enter them to Thoughtless Bowl 5.
Even if you have no intention of playing gnomes, you should buy a ticket to Thoughtless Bowl 5.
That is also true.
We are just shy of 20 tickets. Sold so far. This is on the
1st of June.
Thank you.
June the 1st. As Brett dies trying to remember dates. See, I can't remember him. When is he? Can't remember dates. It's all fairs and it's equal.
All here. Falling apart. I've been talking too much. 1st of June, absolutely. This is going to be a very simple, easy sevens event, but it's going to be fun. It's going to be friendly. There's going to be heaps of laughs. We're looking forward to it. We've got quite a bit of the loot has come in already. But, you know, if we have more people buying more tickets quickly, then we can add more stuff to said loot.
More stuff is more good.
Yeah. But overall, this is just going to be a fun sevens day. Shits and giggles.
I've already started playing practice matches with people, trying out games and teams and skills and stuff, and every single one of them has been a blast, so I am pumped. I would particularly like an odd number of players, regards.
So buy lots of tickets but keep it odd. Is that what we're saying?
Yeah, we always need one more.
But, yeah, just get your tickets in. We want as many people as possible to this, and we can fit as many people as we like. There's legitimately no real limit to the number of tickets that we can do.
This is the MCG of Blood Bowl 7's events. Yeah. How many people want to show up? Just show up. We're good. We got you. Buy a ticket first. That would be appreciated. Regards. Yeah.
It would. Let's see how many people we can get to our big one. And this is, you know, this is our named event. It's Thoughtless Bowl. It's not, you know, Why So Serious or Training Day or anything like that. This is the serious
bowl. Yeah, but it's not.
It's Let's not be that clear. Serious. And no. Very, very friendly for new players and experienced players alike. Anything else you want to talk about?
I mean, not on public air.
All right, things. we'll wrap it up here, and then we'll continue the pegging conversation. Is that what you
said? Sold. Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Thank you very much to everyone that entered again. Thank you to both of you that have listened to the whole episode. Give us a follow: Spotify, Facebook, Podbean, Twitch. Give us a review on Spotify,
Podbean, Facebook. Twitch, Facebook.
Yeah, all of the things you can give us a review on. If you give us reviews that apparently helps us get found by other people, which hopefully leads to more Blood Bowl players in events and more proof fun for everyone.
Any publicity is good publicity. We've just proved that.
Yeah. Again, thank you to all our Patreons who help us do this and continue to surprise us by the amount of support that they give us, and that some would say we're not worthy of. But a special thanks to our thoughtless Patreons, Alice, Archie, Clinton, Craig, Gertzy, Jared, Kingsley, and Yuri. Thank you, guys. Much love to you all.
Maniacs from all of you.
Oh, absolutely. Laters.
Gotcha.
Just like the game.